Hello, everybody. My name is Owen. This is Owen's Gadget Talk for Tuesday, 27th of July, 2021. Honestly, we're finally back after a whole week off, kind of, that I mentioned in previous episodes. We didn't upload last week because it was Eid al-Adha, and it sort of was happening on that day. And so, and also, I was coming back from, you could say, my aunt's house. So it was going to be a bit hectic to set up and do a podcast. So I just wanted to sort of go in with a, you know, just relax off last week. So now we're back. A lot's happened. We got two new phones that have already dropped. There's a new phone that's kind of come out like today. We have plenty of things to talk about. We got new gadgets coming because, you know, they're coming in pipping hot. And we got more details about Samsung's upcoming devices or foldables, you could say. And they've kind of confirmed that they're not doing a Galaxy Note this year. Surprised? Coincidence? I don't think so. I'm just saying. But yeah, first we're gonna talk about a new product that we've already kind of been talking about. We didn't know much about it, we didn't know the look of it. Now we know how it looks like and what it does really, and it looks interesting. And it's his earbuds, but they're exciting nonetheless. But yeah, let's get rolling. First new gadget we're going to talk about of many today is the Nothing Ear 1, One. The Nothing Ear 1 TWS earbuds. This is the first product from a startup called Nothing Products that is obviously led by a former OnePlus co-founder and CEO, Carl Pei. We left OnePlus last year and he went to set up his own hardware startup of his very own. And the first product, the fruit of that work now, is the Nothing Ear 1, an interesting wireless earbud that you definitely should be looking forward to or really consider if you're in the market for wireless earbuds. So this is quite interesting. The design is unlike anything. Now, basically a design, how do I describe it on audio through the power of audio? So basically, imagine you had the AirPods Pro and then the Galaxy Buds, and then you mash them and then you sort of make them a bit thick, and also but also you make it slightly transparent primarily, and what you get is the Nothing Ear 1. And it's their first product and they claim it'll essentially set the tone for our connected digital world to come. They have a plan, they're going to release a broad range of products, they're going to have an ecosystem. It'll be interesting to see how the ecosystem sort of evolves what the strategy will be, but it's quite interesting nonetheless. But a couple of things to note: you have a design that pretty much is transparent almost. So the charging case has a transparent top, you could say, so it shows off a lot of the bits and bobs of the device. There's magnetic stuff, and you know that pops everything in, and you could see everything. It's quite you can see nothing else but the earbuds. I'm trying not to make puns over the word nothing, but you could see nothing almost, but other than nothing but this stuff, the earbuds. And obviously the earbuds, you hear nothing but great sound quality. Now I don't know the sound quality of it. Apparently the thing about the, you have 11.6 millimeter drivers, and interestingly design wise because they're transparent slightly, the tips are the stem, you could say, of the earbuds look transparent, so you could see some components and some QR codes and stuff and nothing on it, obviously. And interesting, they're color coded, so one side's red and one side's white, so you could tell which one's left or right, which I think is genius. It's quite creative design primarily. The hardware and software inside these earbuds has been tuned by Teenage Engineering. Now we've talked about the thing, I believe that we've talked about that they have a collaboration with those folks. But in case you're curious, Teenage Engineering is the famous firm behind those really cool looking synthesizer, if you've known one. They make synthesizers, and so they have great quality sound probably. And so you expect a lot from those folks, that they've tuned these earbuds. So they might sound amazing primarily. They have active noise cancellation, and that's because they have a trio of microphones that will sort of hear surroundings and sort of make sure that you hear nothing, okay, because it's the Nothing Ear 1. So fact that it has active noise cancellation, not a surprise, honestly. Active noise cancellation is already coming on earbuds. Pretty much half the price of these. It's not surprising, but it's a nice to have function, honestly, primarily. You can tweak the ANC, like the AirPods Pro. AirPods Pro. Just like those, you can set the ANC primarily, so you can have it slightly so that you can still hear something, or you can completely turn it off so you can hear the background noise, or completely just hear nothing, go to maximum and hear nothing but great sound. And it will also cancel out background noise when you're so you can make also primarily so you can make calls too, so that's cool. It has the usual tap functions and gestures, IPX4 water resistant, Bluetooth 5.2 support, and have an app that obviously you can download for the earbuds, and you can do some EQ adjustments, and you can find earbuds if you want to do that. Other earbuds do this already, so this is some standard functionality that you get out of the box. In terms of battery life, because you're gonna hear nothing but great sound, obviously. The charging case is rated up to 34 hours of use, so you can charge it several times over. The earbuds themselves, without ANC, will last 5.7 hours. And if you have noise cancellation on at least, you have 4 hours of battery life. And your charging case will basically charge up your earbuds for just 24 hours. So that's basically 6 charges primarily, or 3 charges of both sides combined, you can give or take. So that's that primarily. But yeah, you have a transparent charging case. You got almost a transparent stem, sort of, so you can see the stem of it. It is quite an interesting earbud primarily. Looks nice, and obviously the first product. Now you're curious, how much does this cost? You want to get these, right? They're looking cool, better than the AirPods at this point. I won't even let you guess the price, probably. They'll be sold for about $100, so it'll start at $99. 99 British pounds or 99 euros, so about $100 or 100 quid for these earbuds, which is interesting. It's a pretty good price when you compare it with the Galaxy Buds Plus or Pro, whatever is available right now, the AirPods. In front of that competition, this looks like a solid product nonetheless. We're not even comparing it to the ones from OnePlus also. This is the CarPlay's former company, sort of, that he worked at. The thing about the Nothing Air 1 TWS earbuds is they're able to buy them in over 45 countries on the launch on August 17th. And also be available in the US and the UK, interesting, compared to OnePlus's products. You can find OnePlus earbuds online, if you can. These probably will have a bit more general availability, being Nothing. And they're targeting, obviously, the same sort of crowd that OnePlus used to target, which is sort of the younger sort of tech-savvy folks who lived in the West primarily, in those markets where Samsung and Apple were there, kind of, and, you know, it's just like OnePlus. Kind of looks like AirPods Pro primarily, but they're $100 primarily in that regard, if you know what you're going here for. But there's a lot of competition, about $100 primarily for these. I mean, Google has their own earbuds. We didn't cover it really because we were out of time a couple episodes ago. You don't get ANC on those. I think it's a Pixel Buds A. Yeah, just like the A series phones that they have. And doesn't have active noise cancellation, but they're just good. But they're $100. This is also $100. So honestly, we'll have to see really how good they are. We'll have to see the support, how well they support these products a year or two from now, because hardware startups I kind of all know that unless they're a phone brand or a bigger marquee brand, really, startups are kind of difficult to trust in terms of quality or product quality primarily, or just customer service. If something goes wrong, how are they able to deal with it? So that's something to look out. But nothing crazy really. It was this product's kind of interesting. I mean, $100, I think you probably should think about buying it. I think it's probably good value. You're getting good value here. And honestly, if you don't want to go shopping around into the deep rabbit hole that is TWS wireless earbuds or AirPod competitors. There's so many of them. There are hundreds of options, and you have to do your research, honestly. So if you want to get one solid pair, you might as well get the nothing year one. There's also options from Samsung, from audio brands primarily. If you look at it, if you search hard enough, you're able to get something like this for around $100 to $150. But if you don't want to go further and you don't want to buy from a phone brand or from an audio brand, this is also an interesting option that you should look at. Nothing significant really. The design's interesting, and it's quite, but they're not gonna sell it around for box standard stuff, that's for sure. And speaking of OnePlus, last week, as I said, we didn't do an episode last week, but OnePlus released a new phone, the OnePlus Nord 2, that we've already been talking about, like bananas. Why don't you just talk about it, really, in a bit more detail? It's already available, and you can purchase it from OnePlus. In terms of specifications, primarily, if we go to the spec sheet straight away, it has MediaTek Dimensity 1200 SoC, paired with 6, 8, or 12 gigabytes of RAM, 128 or 256 gigabytes of storage. That's an option. 6.43-inch AMOLED display with 90Hz refresh rate FHD+, plus a 32-megapixel single selfie camera, as we talked about before. Three cameras, primarily at the back. You have you essentially have the 50-megapixel IMX766 sensor, along with the 8-megapixel ultrawide sensor and a 2-megapixel monochrome sensor. I don't know if this is the. We'll have to check. Let me check for a second. Alright, just checked it. It's a 50 megapixel camera. On top of that, you have Wi-Fi 6, Bluetooth 5.2, mid-band 5G supports it on here. There's no mention of millimeter wave as the original Nord. And comes in three spectacular colors, you could say. Blue, gray, and green. Green is only available in India, and it has a vegan leather back, which is pretty cool, you know. Can't be beef. Oh well. Anyways, aside from that, it has a 4500 mAh battery with 65-watt fast charging, so it literally go from 0 to 100 in just 30 minutes, which is impressive. And you get two major Android updates and 3 years of security updates in the model itself. Now, the base spec of the OnePlus Nord 2 starts at 400 euros, or 28,000 Indian rupees, so that would sort of roughly be, as you double it in Pakistani rupees, that would sort of be 28 times 2 be, it would be about 46,000 Pakistani rupees, which is not bad. I mean, it's pretty good, well priced. 46,000, it's quite a lot, but it's well priced for what it is. Impressive bit of specs for what they are. You get what you pay for. Primarily, that is. But I think the key differences from the first OnePlus Nord that came out last year to the second one is that here with the OnePlus Nord 2, you get a MediaTek chip, as you've mentioned before. It's been leaked mostly, and we kind of know what's coming, but in case you're curious, there's a MediaTek chip in here. You get three cameras and just one selfie camera, and I think that's about priorities primarily. You could give people choices, but also you might as well give people the performance that they're looking for. More than everything, this is the first OnePlus to have a MediaTek chip, which is surprising because they've used Qualcomm chips. I'm sure that maybe the chip shortages have meant that they weren't able to get enough supplies of the MediaTek's, of the Snapdragon stuff primarily. Instead, they're going to use a MediaTek chip. Dimensity 1200 is not that bad, not going to lie. It's not bad. It's decent chip for what it is. I mean, we just don't know how much more powerful it is compared to its Qualcomm equivalent, because we've famously known that the MediaTek chips generally have been not that fast compared to their Qualcomm equivalents. So that's something to point out. So if you've really been a Snapdragon fanboy in a sense, you might want to look away a little bit from this Nord. You might as well consider the OnePlus Nord CE. That had a Snapdragon chip, a mid-range Snapdragon chip primarily, and that gives you slightly better performance. But yeah, in terms of real-world performance, I mean, the 1200 is supposed to be a bit of like a flagship chip, but yeah, primarily the in comparison, the Snapdragon 780 performs a little better, but that's probably the optimization and the slight performance that you get generally. But honestly, if you're talking about day-to-day use cases, this phone will probably do wonders. The fast charging is going to be a welcome. The screen would be a pretty welcome addition if you think about it. So that flagship killer has kind of gone away, that feeling of flagship killer. OnePlus is probably trying to make a phone that really not only they could easily make without a problem, but also that if they tack on a bit of a markup, they could make good money on it. So there's that sort of the difference, though, is the first OnePlus Nord was like a real flagship killer. It had all the sort of almost flagship specs, but you didn't really break the bank that much compared to the OnePlus series. And then Carl Pei was around, and then obviously after that he left, and obviously OnePlus has really changed the direction now. Now it's becoming more and more of a sort of an upmarket sister concern of Oppo. In fact, both ventures, and I've mentioned it already before, have kind of combined their operations. So maybe Oppo's execs probably are taking the shots with what this phone could have, if that makes sense, or what this phone could feature. And that, I believe, would not really make it a flagship killer in this. Who knows, I might be wrong, but generally for most folks, if you're not really caring about every inch of performance, you're not about blazing through apps or games or something, just want a solid daily driver phone. And this kind of phone would probably be sold in markets where you'd buy it on contract primarily. It's a good option primarily. 400 euros is not a bad price. It's pretty good for what you get. Primarily, but if you're thinking about the performance and the camera and stuff, you might want to look elsewhere primarily, or you might want to look to get the OnePlus 9 series, but that itself is pretty expensive. It's probably double the price. It's double this phone's it's double in price compared to this phone, honestly. But you want a mid-range solid daily driver, the Nord 2 is honestly hard to beat. The Nord CE, though, now the thing about it is the Nord 2 and the CE both have 5G. Honestly, it kind of boils down to what do you want? Do you want the original design of the OnePlus phones? You want a newer, you want your OnePlus phone to look like the 9 series probably without paying double for that, primarily. Though the difference, the real difference you could say, is that the OnePlus Nord CE, I don't know if you'll be able to get this, but this is obviously available widely, just like the Nord 2, but the CE, though, has a Snapdragon 750G, which is a decent mid-range chip, 4500 milliamp hour battery, 4K video recording, 120 gigabytes of storage standard, it is standard already, 64 megapixel main camera, which is wide itself, and a 8 megapixel ultra-wide sensor, and has Android 11. Honestly, and a headphone jack, again, based on what we're seeing here. We can kind of argue over whether this phone is worth buying. But if you want, honestly, it's probably good for the big wonderful display, the battery, the fast charging, the processor. I mean, again, you want something that you can use it every single day and be impressed with and not be disappointed, then this is probably worth looking over. But also, interestingly, while we're at it, there's another phone that was released last week by the good folks over at Xiaomi, or specifically Poco, who everyone knows what Poco is. And they have a similar phone, but it's different in what it is, but it's similar. That's the thing we want to say. Same processor, but it's different. It has a different target. The Poco F3 GT Edition, which is another variant of the F3, the really good Poco F3 that has the Snapdragon 870, two good cameras. Basically, it's based off the K40 primarily. And this one's a different version of it. And this is essentially similar to the K40 Gaming Edition, except that it's a Poco phone primarily, because it can't sell a Redmi K40. It's really difficult. But in case you're curious, the Poco F3 GT has a 6.67-inch 10-bit AMOLED display, 120Hz refresh rate. Not 90, 120Hz refresh rate. This is for the gamers out there, for all you Free Fire and PUBG lovers. The refresh rate's perfect for all those Free Fire and PUBG mobile lovers. If you're into those sorts of games, you gotta love it. Gorilla Glass on both the front and back, AMOLED display, FHD plus resolution. You got maglev triggers, so these like air triggers primarily, but they are maglev apparently, so it's sort of to press to sort of close a contact and you have trigger primarily, which is pretty cool. A Dimensity 1200 chip, 6 gigabytes of RAM, 128 or 256 gigabytes of storage, UFS 3.1 both memory wise. Interesting. So this is compared to the Nord 2. Though the thing about these two phones is they're targeting different markets. This phone we have here, the F3 GT, is for gamers. Nord 2, regular folks want a mid-range phone. You know how it goes. But aside from that, the F3 GT has a 64-megapixel main camera, 8-megapixel ultrawide sensor, 2-megapixel macro. Same kind of cameras, you can say. 5,065 mAh battery with 67-watt fast charging. There's no mention of whether this phone has 5G on it. One has to look through it, surely. This should be... Yeah, this will support 5G because it has the Dimensity 1200. That's totally clear out of the gate. You get Wi-Fi 6 and Bluetooth 5.1, which is not that bad, primarily. Being a Xiaomi phone, this is pretty good. You get those air triggers, you get Game Turbo, you have that graphene heatsink, so in terms of gaming features, it's pretty good. Primarily. Now, here's the interesting part. The pre-order started last week already, so it's already been on sale for over 2 days now. The regular price of this phone will sort of be... where is this? This is till August 2nd. This is the first week of its sale. You're able to get this phone for 26,000 Indian rupees, which is about 46,000 Pakistani rupees. Wait, is it? No. That would be 48,000. No. Let me do the... That'd be... 4 and then... 52,000 Pakistani rupees. $350 primarily. Let's stick to dollars for this one. So $350. Then it'll jump to $355 next week. And then... Finally, its regular price will be $362. So, this phone will start from $362 for the base spec, and obviously goes all the way up to the top spec, which is $416 after all the first 2 weeks on sale. So, they already launched it this weekend. Next week, it'll be available at a good discount. So, if you're interested, you should check it out for sure. It's available on Xiaomi's site and on Amazon in India, probably. So, if you could find it, then that'd be great. But I think it's clear that these two phones that I've talked about already, the Nord 2 and the F3 GT, are different but have the same processor. But honestly, if it were me, the F3 GT is probably a better option. Price wise, it's a little higher. It's the same, it's similar, but you get more for your money. It has that gamer look, primarily, you can't get away from it. Honestly, but it has that performance that you're looking for. It's got that cooling, obviously, for long game sessions. The air triggers, if you want the air triggers, you could tweak them, right? It's Android, right? It's Android, so you could tweak those triggers to do something, right? Shutter or launch apps in the background. But that's that, really. And you get a bigger sensor, primarily. So, honestly... But this other phone has ballsy specs, so I'd probably recommend the F3 and the F3 GT, pretty much. It looks interesting, nonetheless. But I'm sure that what Poco's looking at is not OnePlus, it's probably Realme. Realme has the Realme GT, so they're probably targeting that crowd primarily, because a lot of people end up buying a Realme primarily, in that sense. And speaking of Realme, they could be launching a new phone. That's interesting. This phone is special in its own way, you could say, and It's another high-end phone, but it has a feature that already you could say is on a pretty well-known phone, and we just got a power bank accessory. I don't have to say it, it's the iPhone 12. It has MagSafe on it. Realme, though, are like, yeah, wireless. We haven't put wireless charging yet, but for not so long. Realme is planning to launch a new phone, and a big shout out to GSM Arena because they have exclusively broke the story first. That's what I found out from. Realme is launching a new phone called Realme Flash. Great and all, high-end phone, a Snapdragon 888, 12 gigabytes of RAM, 256 gigabytes of storage, much more, Android 11 primarily, but it has an interesting feature being that it's the first phone to offer magnetic wireless charging technology, similar to MagSafe, and it's their own technology called MagDart. Now, again, this is a pretty exclusive scoop from GSM Arena. In fact, it has its watermark primarily. Now, it's just like MagSafe on the iPhone, except that it's for a Realme phone. And the way it works is you sort of plug it in, and it would sort of, and essentially has a larger area footprint than MagSafe primarily. And obviously, you get this charger in the box. It will have a fan so to keep it cooled because it's extremely heat. It generates a lot of heat between the magnets, so they have to have a fan to cool it down. Apparently, according to GSM Arena, this will have charging speeds well over 15 watts, and this means it'll have it'll be the fastest magnetic charger out there when it's available on this phone and when it launches. Now, interestingly enough, this phone has itself, on top of being magnetic, it'll also have USB-C, so you could charge it through that quickly if you want. Now, magnetic wireless charging, it feels promising, and the fact that there's an Android player that has already copied what Apple's done, but they've refined on it better, they're now able to offer even faster voltages, 15 watts and above, which is impressive. Interestingly enough, there's a puck-shaped charger Realme is also planning to sell that's been shown, has been leaked already, that will be sold alongside the bulkier option, and it has a USB-C port, so you plug it in to pop it in charge, which is pretty cool. So it's interesting primarily. Now it's the first of its kind, in a way, because Samsung hasn't offered this function. They've offered wireless charging on the high-end phones, but they don't offer this on every phone out there, and that's the thing with Android. Wireless charging has lagged really hard. The flagships have gotten it. Your Pixels, your Galaxy phones, some brands offer it as standard, and the rest of the market hasn't been able to offer Qi charging. It's all standardized. You can buy chargers for cheap. You could buy adapter. Look, that's the thing. If you really want it and you're dying for it, you could get a Qi charging adapter. It's like a little plug at the other end, and you can plug it straight in and into your charger port of your phone, and you can sort of line it, and you can have it at the back, and then you can pop a case over, and it'll still work with that too. And that's for a lot of phones that have USB-C also, or micro USB, and that's kind of been around since the Nexus days primarily, if you think about it. But it's not been broadly supported. It's not been available on a broad range of devices or phones, and I think it's because the technology is quite small really. It has a small market. But Realme is looking to change it primarily by offering magnetic charging. This could catch on in a big way. I think that there's the lure of magnetic charging. It's not as inefficient as wireless charging. Magnetic charging is like, there's a point of contact between both the phone and the charger, and it would transfer current a little quickly. And I could see where Realme, I'm sure they probably might work on Apple alternatives from time to time, but I'm sure they've figured a way for this to work. And so they're offering it, and I think that's amazing, but yeah, if they offer this in the box, this bulky charger, but then again, it looks cool, but it'll be interesting to see how this will work. It'll be fast though, that's for sure. The MagDart looks exciting, because we've never seen such a solution in Android, or from an Android player primarily. Aside from being a copy of what's been done on the iPhone primarily. But yeah, genuinely cannot wait for them to make this happen. I mean, I really want this to be a thing. I hope they don't cancel it in the middle. It'd be sad for sure. So it's quite exciting. They're really looking to leap forward in that regard. Speaking of which, Nokia has another new phone too, and we talked about before last week, the week before last week, sort of on our show, and we knew this was coming because they teased it, but now we have a rugged phone primarily from Nokia, the first from in the HMD sort of history, you could say. Obviously, Nokia run by HMD Global, they have a rugged phone. Nokia has done rugged phones before. The 3310 is rugged itself. It can survive explosions and stuff. But this phone, though, is interesting. The XR20 is the first rugged phone. It's based off the X20 in specs primarily, and in so the model. So it's just like the X20, but it has a lot of things primarily, or being it's rugged first. It has MIL-STD 810H military grade certification. Pretty long, it's primarily, but it's durable. It's tough. It's rated to be durable. It's got IP68 dust and water resistance, primarily out of the gate. It's got wireless charging support, so you get 15 watts of wireless charging. It uses Qi charging primarily, so it's supported. 18 watts fast charging, 4,630 milliampere battery. On top of that, you have a 6.67 inch FHD plus display. You have Gorilla Glass Victus, which is solid to say the least. 20 by 9 aspect ratio. Snapdragon 480. I kind of feel torn by that. A kind of low-end processor on a rugged phone with those sorts of specs. But aside from that, you get 4 or 6 gigabytes of RAM with 64 or 128 gigabytes of storage. You put a microSD card of to 512 gigabytes primarily, so that's pretty cool. 48 megapixel main camera, f1.79 aperture, 13 megapixel ultra wide f2.0, and an 8 megapixel main, weirdly f2.0. That probably could be the macro sensor camera. Aside from that, you get Wi-Fi 6, Bluetooth 5.1, and honestly, it is quite an interesting phone to say the least. I mean, it's rugged. It's built like a tank. It's the X20, you can imagine, but it's thick on every side, so it's nice and rugged. So that's the thing about it. It's interesting, but you'll be surprised by the price, because I think you look at the price and it leaves a bit of a sour taste in everyone's mouth. The XR20 will set you back $550 for the 6 gigabyte variant. 6 gigabytes of RAM and 120 gigabytes of storage. That's one storage spec you get in the US primarily, on top of having two colors, blue or granite, as they say. But in Britain, you can get this phone for 400 quid for the base spec, and then the upgraded one's £449. So I would say dollars. That would have been crazy if it was that much. I don't know about you, but over $400 or $500 for a rugged phone. Yeah, it's not for everyone. I mean, at that point, you could buy something like the Realme GT, or you can get one of those solid mid-range phones, and you could add and you could literally put a rugged phone case. You could put a tough phone case, a tough screen protector, and you could do the same. You can get the same rugged feeling, and you don't have to get this phone though. So that's the thing. But hey, you get 5G out of the gate, which is pretty cool nonetheless. I'm sure it's the different chip on the phone, on top of the Snapdragon 480. There's probably a modem that does 5G, which I think is a nice bonus for that price tag. So around $500 for a 5G rugged phone is not bad. But here's the thing: if you're not gonna buy from a carrier, you're gonna buy from AliExpress. Wait, you can't really, but you can. You could find such a phone like the spec for $200 to $300. So it's not a really good deal if you ask me. You're just paying $500 for a rugged Nokia. You can get a 3310 for even lower price than that, I'm sure. So that's the thing primarily about the XR20. So it's kind of interesting. You can get in the UK already soon, and it will be available in the US from August 24th. So if you want to spend about $500 ish on a rugged phone, then you're very welcome to, but it's not a it's not a, you know, it's not a good deal. I mean, but interestingly, you get 3 years of updates, Android updates, which is, if that's important to you, want that vanilla Android experience, then it's not a heavy price to pay primarily compared to the Pixels and stuff that you look at. I mean, if you compare it to a Pixel, then it's a good deal in that regard, but you can look elsewhere for better deals, that's for sure. And you can get a tough case for that. That's definitely a fact. We've kind of been talking about it for several weeks now. You know how this goes. Samsung's going to release some new foldables, and, well, we're probably knowing more things about it. Now, let's talk about things that Samsung's confirmed at this point, theoretically. First, they're really going to be doing an Unpacked event on August 11th. It'll be happening at about 1400 UTC, so you can, depending on where you live, you can see your UTC time and add it to that time, and you could see when it is. And thing in Pakistan, it's probably 7 p.m. Pakistan time, so that'll be 5 p.m. Gulf time. And then that would essentially be 3 p.m. UK time, and then it would essentially 10 p.m. Southeast Asia time. So primarily 2 p.m. UTC time, so you could add or subtract to that, and depending on where you live. So that's happening, and it's exciting. So August 11th, we'll see what they have in store. But it's almost all but confirmed that they will have some new devices coming. They'll have a new Galaxy Watch. The Z Fold 2, the Z Fold 3, and the Z Flip 2 are coming. It'll actually be the Z Flip 3 and the Z Fold 3. Both phones are sort of the third variant, you could say, the third generation. And it's over. And there was like a press release that an editorial that Samsung dropped on yesterday, or today, kind of, depending on how you look at it, or today, sort of. And it was coded as, "The next era of smartphone innovation is about to unfold." Cool. Basically, it kind of going explaining that Samsung needs to move on, and, you know, we're going to innovate, and we need to show, give people more things, you know, we need to offer better technology, because we really needed a lot of it in this past year, and we've been much closer to our phones and computers, and that's great. Alright, let's try to find the line that mattered. I'm excited to say that our third, and this is Samsung's sort of main boss of mobile, Samsung's main head of mobile, sort of Dr. T.M. Rowe, and he stated this: "I'm excited to say that our third generation of foldable devices will open up amazing new multitasking capabilities and enhanced durability for even more people around the world." Now, if you decrypt it dramatically, you'll know that they have, it's coming, guys. It's coming. Z Fold 3, Z Flip 3, it's all confirmed. You know, great. But also, he went on to talk about the fact that they have collaborations with Google and Microsoft, and that's important, and that they want to offer top-notch experiences. And hardware is one story, software really is what actually matters. You use your phone every day, it's the apps, the OS, the integration, the sharing, the connectivity that matters. The integral software is the integral experience of a phone. You know, look at Huawei's, if you don't have YouTube, it's better for nothing, right? You know, it's good for nothing in that regard. And so Samsung really needs that collaboration with Google or Microsoft to get a lot done. And so that's the key here with what Samsung's doing. So their next UI watch, their next Galaxy Watch will have one UI watch, which is great. Primarily that's thanks to Google, and obviously optimizations for Microsoft and Google's applications. So if you have the foldables, you could, in the fold-out mode, you could watch videos in a full view, and you can run different apps at the same time. You can see multiple screens at once if you're doing Microsoft Teams, so you can see multiple folks at the same time, which I think is really cool. Nice to have, really. But yeah. And then he obviously finished off by saying that, "I hope you will join us as we debut our next Galaxy Z family and share some foldable surprises, including the first ever S Pen designed specifically for foldable phones. Instead of unveiling..." Okay, now that's the juicy part. Instead of unveiling a new Galaxy Note this time around, we'll further broaden beloved Note features to more Samsung Galaxy devices. That's what it says. Not like, oh, we're not doing a Note. I mean, obviously, it'll be a bit rude to be like, yeah, we're not doing no Note this year. No soup for you. No Note for you, okay? No, but they're like, well, we're not doing a Note. Basically, in a kind way if they've said, yeah, we're not doing a Note, Galaxy Note this year. We're going to offer you foldables, so buy the foldables. The foldables are exciting. Not a surprise, honestly. We've heard about this since late last year, that they were not going to do a Note 21 instead of a Note 20. They're not going to do a Note 21 primarily. I'm not surprised, frankly. I mean, there's the chip shortages primarily, but also the focus. They want to get people to buy the foldables more than the Note. If the Galaxy Note's still around and the foldables are coming out, then they'll have a tough choice. And high-end phone buyers they'll just go for something that's fancy. The S21 series is doing wonders being a flagship. So Samsung might be doing some damage control. They're not offering another Galaxy Note because they've seen the last Galaxy Note release last year. It didn't sell like a lot, and they want to make sure that they are selling phones at the value that they're supposed to be, and they're not, you know, they don't suddenly get inexpensive after over a year or two. And that's the thing, really, primarily. But aside from that, if you look at it, there's already leaks coming out, more leaks that have come out about the foldables. According to Event Blast from EV Leaks, the Z Flip 3 will basically feature, this is a fact, it'll feature a 6.7-inch internal display and 1.9-inch outer selfie display primarily. Not that big, but it's there. A 212-megapixel back cameras, a 10-megapixel selfie camera primarily, whereas the Z Fold 3 features a 7.6-inch internal display, a 6.2-inch external foldable external display that's not folding, three 12-megapixel sensors, 10-megapixel selfie camera on the inside, and a 4-megapixel on the outside primarily, and a 4-megapixel main selfie camera on the inside primarily. I think that would be under display camera. I'm saying undercover, I don't know why. Under display selfie camera. And you get two optional S Pens, weirdly. So, a Pro and a Fold edition. I don't know what that means, but okay, that's interesting. And these two phones have IPX8, so they can only do water resistance up to IPX8, which is pretty interesting. So that's what EV Leaks has said, primarily. So that's pretty cool. And not to mention the invite for the Unpacked event, and you've seen the ads everywhere already, basically shows the two foldables in like a box, hence unpacked, unpacking new devices. It's always a box, right? So they open it up and show some new phone out there, and that's the thing. So we're going to have these phones come out eventually, and I'm genuinely excited. This is one of the most exciting phone launches of the year, primarily, on top of other devices that were kind of coming out this past year. This one, I'm genuinely excited because it's a foldable, and the Z Flip 3 looks nice. So it's something I'd probably tell people to buy, or, you know, I can actually convince a family member to be like, yo, get this as a gift for me or for someone else. It's a really good phone, and it's worth all the money in the world. I mean, I'm super excited because foldable phones, you can do so much on them, and they're quite flexible. Primarily, the Z Fold 3 primarily. The outer area, you could do social media, flip it open, productivity, everything. Speaking of which, 91 Mobile's leaked the case, allegedly, for the Z Fold 3, that has a S Pen. This is just like the S21 Ultra. If they sell a case, you could pop the S Pen to the side. It's like a side, you know, it's kept on the side, sort of. That's pretty cool. So the fact that there could be a case for this is wonderful, and that the S Pen will work for the Z Fold 3, that's pretty wonderful. And I'm saying wonderful because it is, you know, it's exciting, primarily. So, you know, I genuinely cannot wait for the foldables here. Seems like we cannot wait another day for them till they arrive, sort of. So that's that. So that's exciting. I can't believe it's unfolding. Everything's unfolding for what it is. Xiaomi's making another Mi Mix phone. And that's because someone has basically leaked the front glass of it, the front tempered glass of the Mi Mix 4. Now, if you know Xiaomi, they haven't released a Mi Mix phone in a very long time. Right, there was not enough groundbreaking innovations. Obviously, the Mi Mix phones were where Xiaomi offered some pretty cutting-edge innovation and top-notch specs that they pretty much can offer. It was crazy, primarily. But one thing we know about the display is that it's completely top-to-bottom a display, and there's no, and you cannot see a camera punch-out. You can't see a hole for the camera. And that's because the Mi Mix 4 could possibly have an under-display camera. We've seen on a we've seen it on a ZTE phone, and it'll probably be on the Z Fold 3 potentially, if this that ends up being the case. I kind of, part of me thinks that under-display cameras are still early. We're kind of a good year or two behind in terms of technology coming up to that pace for it to exist, if that makes sense. But the leaked screen, it's what some renders have kind of, it's just like what has been shown on some renders. It's curved on the sides pretty much. So this means it'll have a 6.67 inch display, apparently, according to some unconfirmed reports that's sourced from TCL, with FHD plus resolution, 5000 mAh battery, Snapdragon 888 plus. That, I don't think that's come out yet. Literally, there's no phone with it yet. So that's interesting. Up to 12 gigabytes of RAM and up to 256 gigabytes of storage. This may or may not be true. It's just all a rumor at the moment, which is pretty much interesting. It could be the first to come with MIUI 13. It hasn't even come out yet. That's the crazy part. So this is all unconfirmed reports. So it might happen or may not happen. We don't know. So it might happen, probably. But interestingly, the fast charging part is crazy. This could have 120 watt fast charging and 70 to 80 watt wireless fast charging. That hasn't really happened. We don't know. I mean, this is all unconfirmed. We don't know. We'll need to wait for more details to kind of come in, or a kind of confirmation that this is happening. Well, that's not interesting. But more interesting is the fact that it could have an under-display camera, which hasn't really come out on a lot of phones yet. Again, it's quite difficult technology to move it it's quite difficult technology to adapt, and it's not been on a lot of phones yet. So again, this could be coming out next year. This could be a 2022 phone right away. So we might be hearing about it from now. We might be starting to hear a trickle, probably a droplet of information that will become a trickle, that become a ocean wave, that'll literally become a tsunami of leaks. So this is the first in a long line of leaks, potentially. Who knows? And we also now happen to know the name for Android 13. Android 12 is going to be launched soon, but Android 13 is on the way. But that's because there was a commit on the Android open source project Garrett, that was sourced by some person, by some user _ C Desai. It was probably found us in the code, and in the code it stated, rename T to Tiramisu. Platform _version _codename is being updated from T to Tiramisu, which means that if we look at the leaked code, Android 13's codename will be Tiramisu. We all know Android's codenames, sort of, for the OS versions, has always been based on a dessert. Primarily, it's happened before, and it's going to keep on happening. And obviously a common dessert, not something that's rare or special to Android. Android 13 will be Android 13 Tiramisu, which is pretty cool, being that it'll be sweet and caffeinated. Could be a little faster than the previous version of Android, so that's that. So big shout out to GXDA developers for finding this scoop. So that's pretty much interesting, nonetheless. It's quite interesting detail. And we kind of know the code name for Android 13. That's the nuts part. Alrighty, we could talk even more technology, but we're literally out of time. What do you think of everything you've heard today? Let me know on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at sayit_mount99. Follow me there if you can. You probably should. I mean, I probably also post stuff over there from time to time, and retweet stuff or post stuff if I can, or check out my story on Instagram. As I said, it's sayit_mount99. Follow me there if you can. subscribe to the show where you listen to podcasts right now. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Please leave a pretty good review so that, you know, Apple will probably bring it up further in their search results when you search for the show. But yeah, aside from that, this is your boy Mountain signing out. Have a great day. Till Thursday, this is your boy Mountain signing out. And yeah, stay safe. Please take care. You know, Delta's around, you know, so take care of yourself and your family. And hopefully see you on Thursday for another episode of Mountain's Gadget Talk. All right. Have a lovely day. Thanks for listening. Ciao.